Tucker, I got something very special in the mail for my best friend.
Let's see it. Let's see it.
My best friend, Mr. Beast.
Oh, you're such a YouTube slut.
My best friend, Mr. Beast, sent me something in the mail.
Let's see what it is.
He sent me the Mr. Beast Feastables Super Mario Movie
Dude, that is huge.
Package.
That, I know. Is that full of chocolate?
I think.
No, that chocolate's not even good. Am I allowed to say that on YouTube?
Well, you haven't tried the new kind. The new kind is actually good. I've been telling you about
that. They lost me on the first time.
They changed their formula, man. They changed their formula.
I will get a Mr. Beast bar next time I see one, and I will...
You have to try it out, yeah, because we talked about chocolate the whole time.
All right, I'll try.
That one episode. But look, it's like they got a fucking sponsor with Mario. They got
You know, that's ironic Yoshi. Because... Nintendo's pretty fucking pissed at YouTubers like all the time.
Yeah, I know. And now they're doing a Super Mario Galaxy movie thing, and then I'll open it.
Whoa! Wow. Oh, I thought it was just going to be full. Wow, it lights up? I thought the thing was going to be full of chocolate bars. There's like there's like three pieces of candy in this whole ass box.
You're right. Well, okay, so they got some options here. I guess I'm shilling for Mr. Beast now. They got Galaxy Coco Crunch.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
They've got these white chocolate peanut butter Yoshi eggs.
Wait.
If I was a kid and I saw this, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to eat a Yoshi egg.
Do you think that you could get one of these sent to my place?
Maybe. And then they've got these sour boosts.
Sour boost. I could totally go for a sour boost.
It's like the things that he uses to fly, I guess. So... Oh, wow, they gave me... Oh, there's a lot in here. There's like five in each. Oh, shit. Yeah, there's a shit ton in here. These are deep pockets. These are deep pockets they've provided.
I'm really jealous.
That's pretty cool. I mean,
that's
the lights, too. This is like... big business.
That's landfill slop right there.
We're chatting and hanging out, and we're taking it easy.
Today, we have Moosehead Canadian Lager on draft.
Yeah, and I have a bunch of Mr. Beast candy. I might as well try it. Audio listeners love me to death.
I'd love to know how it is. If it's... Okay,
so I'm Emma's trying their sour things first, because I've never had a sour... I wonder if this is made of, like, Jimmy's Carlage or something.
Wait, you've never had a sour candy?
No, I've never had a sour candy from Mr. Beast. Like, this is... Oh. They're expanding, and...
Well, yeah, they were just on chocolate there for a bit.
I mean, how do you even rate...
Compared to a Sour Patch Kid.
It tastes like a Sour Patch Kid.
It's probably the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I would try it.
Mm.
I would definitely try it if you were to mail us a full thing. If you texted your little boys at the Beast Factory and said, Hey, could you send this to a family in need?
It's also tariff. It's tariff proof. It's got U.S. sourced candy.
U.S. sourced candy?
U.S. sourced sugar.
Yeah, we probably make that in Puerto Rico from like severely underpaid people.
Probably.
They just call it the U.S. because it's a technicality. The Puerto Rico is the U.S. on a technicality. And I say that as a dig at the U.S., not at Puerto Rico.
Non-voting U.S. sourced sugar.
On the record, I liked the Super Bowl halftime show. I thought it was great.
I did too.
I think that was a psyop. That people
you think
didn't
it was
like
a psyop?
It. No, that the people that like the MAGA crowd that was like didn't like it and was like putting on their own. I feel like they were just,
oh my god, yeah, dude, that was so stupid.
Like, I was like, first off,
the Turning Point halftime show, it's like that's like some baby shit.
I know. I was like, this halftime show is banging. Like, yeah, a lot of it's in Spanish, but like it's good.
Yeah, they brought Lady Gaga out. She did a fucking version of her like a different version of her song.
I thought it was great. And I was honestly pretty sober when I saw it, and so I stand by it.
Thank you for being honest about that.
Yeah, I am being honest.
Right now I'm going to try, next up is the white chocolate peanut butter Yoshi eggs.
That's what we're getting the full review, the whole box.
Well, yeah, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten really anything today other than that bowl of cereal I had before we started recording. So I'm like,
I'll tell you what I had
this
today.
This might have been.
I had
this
two
melted a little bit, I think.
Servings of Dunkin' hash browns and a
so this
medium
melted
iced
a little
coffee.
Bit.
Melted? How did that melt? Oh, was it outside?
Because
I feel like your apartment's cold.
It got delivered to me as a package, but this is the Yoshi egg. This is the more one that's more solid. Let me try it.
It's like a peanut butter egg?
Yeah, it's like it's good timing too, because it's kind of like Easter-y.
Yeah.
I gotta say, when I've tried the new formulation of the Mr. Beast peanut butter stuff, I like their peanut butter stuff often more than I like a Reese's, unfortunately.
Wait. Which peanut butter do you like more than Reese's?
I like the Mr. Beast one more.
Wow. Well, you've always been a slut for the Trader Joe's peanut butter cups.
Mm-hmm. This is closer to that.
I think Reese's peanut butter cups are...
There's some controversy around it right now, too.
Oh, really? I might have heard
like
something.
The grandson of Reese, like, went on to say, like, because a lot of their side products are used with things that aren't real peanut butter. They're like peanut butter flavored cream or something.
Yeah. Well, I think their quality is very up and down. Like, it can be very good. It can taste very fresh, or it can taste very stale. So if you get a stale one, it's, you know, that'll really bum you out.
Yeah. And there's literal peanuts in this.
I'll be honest, though, with you, I don't care if there's peanuts in it. If it tastes good, I don't really care. I mean, it's a piece of candy.
And they
candy.
Have a whole thing about Feast Bowl's ethical sourcing committee.
That's
and
great.
It like, has a whole thing on like sourcing things ethically. You want to get that? You want to scan that?
Yeah, I wonder. Do they phone? Hire people for that? It's too blurry. I can Google it though. I mean, I'm on the computer right now.
Wait. You're totally gonna get it if it just focuses properly for 1 second.
I'm already on it. Oh, they're on a mission to end child labor in the cocoa industry. That's good.
It's pretty good.
I'd say
pretty
I would. I think I would support that.
Yeah, I mean, people have big problems with Jimmy Beast. I mean, if you ever go on,
everybody's pissed. Everybody's pissed all the time. Mm-hmm. You see somebody do something good, they're like, "Why the fuck would he do that? Can you believe the audacity that he built a well in a rural community? Can you fucking believe that?" I'm like. Dude, I've been to some of those communities, and trust me, they could use the well.
Yeah. This is a good peanut butter. If this is a peanut butter cup, this is pretty good.
So after our last episode in which we talked about a lot of chocolate bars, on my way to work that night, I stopped. I got my White Monster. I got a liter of water, and I got a Crunch Bar. Mm-hmm. And I sit down at work. I'm warming up the cat. I crack the Monster, and I start eating this Crunch Bar. And I got so sick that night.
Really?
I don't know if I was very tired. That was during a week or two where I was getting like 3 hours of sleep a night. I was working all night. It was horrible. My body was really struggling. And I think that amount of sugar and caffeine at that point just gave whatever little sickness that was in my body the like boost it needed to take over.
Yeah, you get when you get sick, you get sick hard.
I think, and I tell Emma this, I think it's because like I'm so powerful as a person that when I do get sick, it just topples me. Like I fall that much further. Because when Emma gets sick, she gets like a little bit sick.
What's that say about me? Are you trying to say I'm not a powerful person?
You don't get sick because you don't leave your room.
I do leave my room. How dare you? I do leave my room. I sometimes go to the bathroom. Okay.
That
I go
door
to the
behind bathroom. You right now.
Yeah, that's a different, that's a separate room. And I go into my bedroom and I sleep. I have my office, I have my living room, I have my bedroom. And I've been going on walks lately. I've been breathing in all of LA.
You have. No, I do get sick a lot. I don't know why. I just got cursed with like low immune system or something. Which is crazy, but because I've been licking my palms.
That's just like the facet of our... What's it called? I mean, what would you say
our health
if
dynamic?
We were, because we were talking about this the other day, Tucker and I were talking about this the other day about each other in terms of our stats. If we were to like put Fallout? It within the Fallout stats.
Well, one of them does medical or health, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think But I do think that that one is intelligence, and I would be slow to say that you're an unintelligent person, though.
But well, thank you.
Tucker had said, I'd just be slow to it. I'd get there eventually, but I'd be slow to it.
Oh, no, I think it might be endurance.
Yeah, but then you can run for a while.
I would say
when I thought of endurance, I was like, but man, he was running all the time before the Marines.
I used to be a runner. I'm not a runner anymore, but I would say I'm a pretty enduring person. I would say I can usually endure quite a bit of pain. Mental,
I think
emotional.
I have some endurance too. I definitely have some endurance as well.
Yeah, you're pretty enduring. I would say like you're pretty enduring. You just don't often find yourself in positions where you need to endure really. But like you could.
Yeah.
You could go further than, and I don't even know what setting we're talking about. Like apocalyptic, like you could, I feel like you could endure some hardship because you're pretty.
Yeah,
like,
I'm definitely not one of the people because there's two, and here's the thing. This is my favorite topic to talk about when it comes to podcasting. I've talked about it maybe upwards of 10 times.
I know that's why
apocalypse for some reason
when
is
I
just
touched
my favorite
it,
thing.
I
mean,
was like,
hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and fucking
we
sinker.
We can't talk about
well.
It forever. You got a few minutes.
We can't. You're right. We can't.
You get a couple minutes.
But God, do I want to, because, you know, in all my years of podcasting, I mean, you give me a chance to talk about the apocalypse a little bit. I've got theories. I've got questions and answers and all that. Okay. I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, maybe I should have a go bag.
Oh, I went through that phase when I lived in California.
I
don't anymore because I'm
first of all, realistically, if Los Angeles gets nuked, I am gone within the first millisecond.
Oh yeah, you're gone in the flash. You're flash done.
I'm gone in the fireball because there's no.
You live in Hollywood.
I'm not going to be that.
You are
fucking
the target.
Guy in Japan that went from Nagasaki to, or went from Hiroshima to Nagasaki and survived both. Like, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? I'm going right to move to San Francisco from LA because those are both going down.
Oh yeah.
We might honestly. Yeah. Some of the states in the U.S. might nuke those for us.
But I will say that I am different than. There's two types of people in this world. Okay. There are the flounders. And there are the founders.
And you want to be a
founder?
You want
to know those two things are? Well, yeah. So you've got the founders. Those are the people who are going to be founding the new age of society in the apocalypse, the founders. Then you've got the flounders, the people when asked about an apocalyptic situation, we know we worked with one of them for very long, where they'll say, I'll kill myself. I'll just kill myself or I'll just die. I don't want to live in a world like that. Those are the flounders. Those are the people that throw their hands up. No, not me.
That it is going to be
people that wish they die in the flash.
It's going to be a hard adjustment to.
It will, but I do like to think that I would. You know, there are times where I think God. I mean, this is part of the reason why I think I should really figure out how my truck works. Because if there's an apocalyptic car that's going to work and survive in the apocalypse, it's going to be my 2002 Toyota Tacoma.
Your Tacoma is a testament to Toyota. Because it really has endured. It's very old.
Absolutely.
It's relatively neglected, and it's still running just fine.
I mean, there's some stuff that needs to be done with it, but yeah, no, if what does neglected mean? I'm like trying to resist.
You know,
like,
it's a broad
I'm
word.
Trying to resist having a bad reaction to this. What does neglected really mean at the end of the day?
Well, it's subjective. So what some people might see as neglect, others might see as care.
Because I will say that more frequently than not these days, my truck, I wash it. I've got a cover for it now, so the paint doesn't get fucked up by the California sun.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm planning on, at some point, getting the paint redone. Needs to be redone, but it's going to be.
That's a dream of mine as well.
Oh, my God, it's going to be so expensive. It's going to be so fucking expensive. Yeah. I know it's going to be like $5,000 or something ridiculous.
That's exactly what I would predict is $5,000 for that.
Oh, it's gonna be horrible. It's gonna be horrible. It's gonna be horror.
My truck needs a new transmission at some point. Which
that's rough.
It's
probably like
three.
A full new transmission? It'll be like what, $1,800?
No, I bet it's $3,000. Labor's
a
hundred something bucks an hour.
I had to do a transmission thing before I moved to LA, and that was around like $1,800, $2,000 or something like that.
Both our trucks have very common transmissions. They're not hard to get. So that's nice. But the labor is expensive. So
Yeah, but in the apocalypse scenario, I would need to know how to run that truck. And I guess because it's an older truck, maybe it would be kind of hard to get supplies. But I feel like
it's also simpler. I just feel
like it is simpler. Yeah, because like all the new cars now, they got all these electronics in them. It's just going to make things complicated. Yeah.
You know, God forbid you got a diesel. You got to put DEF in it.
But at the same time, what if I got a fucking like if I had an electric car, that honestly might be a vehicle that would survive better in the apocalypse in a weird way.
Well, yeah, because you could solar it.
Yeah, you could solar it, or you could literally just fucking have a team of, you know, orphaned children riding these little tricycles that are powering a generator machine that's charging up my car for supply runs.
I thought you were taking this seriously, and then we just took a turn.
I am taking this seriously. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not taking this seriously?
You know, I was like, Ted wants to have a serious conversation about the apocalypse.
All right.
Let's do it. All right.
All right. All right. Let's dance, puppy. Let's dance.
Let's dance.
Let's dance, puppy boy.
Okay. What do you got?
Is there not going to be orphans?
You know, there'll be a handful, but I really don't think so.
A handful? Are you kidding? There's going to be hundreds of them. They'll be roaming the streets. Children are smaller. They can fit through tough spaces. They are more likely to survive than their adult counterparts from falling debris and the various things.
I don't think there'll be many orphans. I don't. It'll basically be like,
well, I'll swoop them up right when the shit goes down so I can
swoop up all the orphans,
Ted.
That's a great look. And you're going to put them to work.
Okay, it's better than dying young, is it not?
I don't think that...
You said it's going to be a different world. Sorry that I want to invest in the next generation. Sorry. Sorry about that. Well, you're going to see an orphan, you're going to be like, sorry, I've got my own son.
I just don't really think there'll be many. I think orphans will probably die off, and the ones that survive will basically just be other survivors. Like, become adults very fast.
I will get into my van...
Your van? Where the fuck are you getting a van?
My white van. And I will have a speaker and I'll say, calling all orphans. I'm driving around the destroyed, broken streets of LA. Calling all orphans. I've got a job for you. That's what I'll probably do. The orphans will be set up on a series of ramps.
When I lived in California, and when we're talking about apocalypses over the years... Like on the chuckle and on this, it's like, I can't, like, no, LA is going to be just about the worst place. Like the survivability is almost impossible in any.
Dude, do you not think that I'm heading straight to Montana the moment that the apocalypse happens?
Yeah, but that's what everyone else is also thinking. Like if you wait until the apocalypse.
But those people, first of all, half of LA isn't going to get more than 400 miles, because that's when their Teslas are going to run out.
It's just not feasible to even be able to escape the urban hellscape. All it takes is one roadblock, then you're done. Your Tacoma's not going anywhere.
Four-wheel drive, brother. Four-wheel drive.
I'm not going to get through a roadblock just because you got four-wheel drive.
I'm going to go up onto the median or whatever. I'm going to drive around. I'm not taking the highways. That's for sure.
Were you going to take the back roads to Montana? Maybe.
Well, I'm going to take the back roads for a little bit, but then also once I get out of sort of the greater Los Angeles area, then it's like a lot of it's desert. Like you can pull off onto the side of the road or something. And I'm assuming that there's going to be some opportunities, you know, some of the fucking cement things off to the side are going to be broken down or whatever, but the crashes and stuff or whatever. Like, I'm going to be able to get off the road and drive through the fucking Mojave a little bit. Four-wheel drive, man. Four-wheel
drive. Mojave's not too bad to drive through, honestly.
Yeah. So I'm going through the Mojave. And then once I'm out in the Mojave, then it's like kind of like a straight shot. As long as I avoid Salt Lake and... I just like go through the fucking, I pass the Rockies. I'm going through pretty much
where are you filling up here?
Huh? Where am I filling up, dude?
Yeah, you're not
going to
make it.
Are you kidding me? Do you understand the concept of, there are going to be so, you talk about roadblocks. I'm going to be looking for roadblocks. You ever heard of a thing called a siphon?
I guess, okay, you could siphon. Let's say you're siphoning.
I'm siphoning gas from cars. If you're four-wheel
drive going through the Mojave, you're ripping through gas, buddy. You better hope your AC is going because you're going to be cooking out there, too. If it's like
yeah, and May I'm just assuming October. That a lot of people have died pretty early, so there's not too much of a rush out there, and people are kind of battening down. I'm assuming, you know, and you can make that journey pretty quickly, like in a few days. I mean, add in like three times the amount given the logistical issues of traveling across an apocalyptic landscape. But yeah, no, I mean, I there's definitely a world I could take this a little bit more seriously, have a go bag, have a gun.
I think a go bag, especially if you live in an area where like natural resources are scarce, a go bag's not a bad idea. When I lived in California, honestly, up until like 2 years ago, I had a tactical backpack I bought specifically for this. I would keep like a few liters of water in there, a few MREs. I kept like a couple flares, like lighter, compass, just like some basic survival things.
Yeah, I should buy some fucking MREs for a go bag. That'd be great. How big are they? They're pretty big, aren't they?
They're like the size of a Go XLR. But you could survive a couple days easily off one MRE. Like there are a lot of calories in an MRE.
Sure. Do you eat it once and then just kind of not eat for it? Or do you kind of peter that over several days?
Everything's individually wrapped within it. So you have like the main entree, which would be like spaghetti and meatballs. And then you'll have like a candy. It'd be like a pack of Skittles. You have like crackers. It'll be like two big ass square crackers. You'll probably have a sauce of some kind. You'll probably have like a beverage powder or two, like a coffee and then like a Gatorade powder. There might be a pack of matches in it. There might be like a pack of sugar and
salt.
They don't
provide cigarettes anymore, do they?
No, they stopped doing that a while ago. But yeah, I think you could get matches and you could start a fire with the heater probably because there's a heater in there, which if you're like in a cold environment, that could honestly help.
Right,
to
heat up the food.
Yeah, you put like a mouthful of water in it. It's like a sleeve. And then you put the entree or whatever you want that's safe in it as well, and it creates a reaction in which it's boiling and it's giving off hydrogen gas. You can light the gas on, like the steam on fire. It's kind of gnarly. Oh. Yeah, they're kind of dangerous. They get really, really hot. But yeah, it's just like a mouthful of water. That's just how I always measured it. I was just like, and they stick the meal great. In there. And
I wouldn't want to use more water than that, I guess.
But yeah, if you use too much, it won't react because you'll like swamp it. And if you don't use it,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see myself.
You should buy a couple.
I mean, what do we do? Do we have like because who produces the MREs? It's not like the government's making them.
No,
they're buying them from someone.
Yeah, someone in. I think it's a Texas-based company. You can buy them on eBay.
2026 MREs for sale.
Like people resell them. They're expensive. They're expensive because preppers buy them. And
ammo can man, is your gear battle tested? This is like the fucking website I'm on.
A lot of guys steal them. They kind of just acquire them from the military.
Oh, okay.
And then they resell them. And you can get in a lot of trouble for doing that, but a lot of people do it.
This is...
You basically had access as an individual in the Marine Corps infantry to unlimited MREs. We're always throwing out MREs. There's always MREs everywhere. If you want MREs, no problem, you can have them. But if you get caught selling them like on eBay and stuff, you can get messed up.
Oh, it's like... Honestly, it's less than $10 a meal.
Oh, really?
It's
that's
like $6. Cool. It's like $6 a meal from this. So this is like genuine U.S. MREs, meal ready to eat, A, B, and AB cases.
Yeah, there's probably like A case comes with like these meals, so, and B case comes with these meals.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. I'll send you the link to this, what I'm looking at right now, because this is good, and Emma can put this on the screen. So oh, yeah. We got chili with beans, we got beef shredded and barbecue sauce, we got chicken with egg noodles and vegetables, spaghetti with beef and sauce, we got chicken chunks, beef taco filling, beef strips and tomato sauce, meatballs and marinara sauce, beef stew, chicken mac or chili macaroni,
chili mac,
cheese pizza slice. Oh, chili mac. Elbow macaroni and tomato sauce. And then in case B is cheese tortellini and tomato sauce, Mexican-style rice and bean bowl, Mexican-style chicken stew, chicken burrito bowl, pork sausage patty, beef ravioli and meat sauce, jalapeno pepper jack beef patty, Italian sausage, lemon pepper tuna. That's an interesting one. Beef goulash, pepperoni pizza slice, and Southwest beef and black beans. And this is from a verified, this is a verified buyer from Michael. He said, perfection and exactly what I'm looking for. Ew,
that's Moses right there.
Yeah.
Okay, you definitely want case A. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that with certainty. And the lemon pepper.
What did you say?
You want case A. Case A? Yeah.
Yeah.
You want case A. Case B, lemon pepper tuna is literally just like a pack of Starkist tuna that you can buy at the grocery store. It's not, it's like everything in the MRE is
better.
Like,
it sounds way better based on the description. Lemon pepper tuna. Ooh.
Well, no, what the fuck it is that? It is good. Like, I eat tuna from the grocery store frequently. But
I never eat tuna from the grocery store. This is probably the richest thing about me. I don't like. Well, I think I just have a thing against tuna because of like this consistent perception of tuna.
It's kind of gross.
But I think it's like it's a cat whenever food. A kid had like a tuna sandwich or something.
Oh, they were gross
at school or something. It's always the smelliest thing in the room. I'm like, I don't want to eat that shit.
No, that I wouldn't say that's a rich opinion. I would just like that's fine.
Well, I didn't get to the rich part yet. I was going to say that the only tuna that I eat is in the context of like sushi or sashimi or something like that. That's where it sounds.
That's okay. You know, tuna in a can or a packet is not for everyone. And I didn't start eating it until the Marine Corps, really, where I was literally sitting. We hiked up this fucking mountain and we set up this outpost for like 2 days. And it's just me and three guys or two other guys. And we're just like sitting there with just like what we have on us. And I'm like, well, I have this MRE that's lemon pepper tuna. Like, better try this thing out. And I was like, hey, that's pretty good.
That's a 2016 reference right there.
And so ever since then, I've been eating it. That's literally case B. Lemon pepper tuna is what turned me on to it.
You should, you know what you should do in your journey when you've got a little bit of extra cash lying around? You should order like tinned fish from like Italy or something like that and try that. I bet that there's like some really good tinned fish that you're I feel like you kind of felt like you reached your answer on the question of like, you know, sardines or anchovies or whatever. But I feel like maybe the ones you had were shit out the pooping out your
one
butt.
One of them said it was like Italian, like it was it was marketed as fancy.
What were you getting from Wegmans?
Price Chopper.
It was probably a Price Chopper PSYOP, man.
I was thinking if I went to like Italy, Greece, Japan, like they've probably got what I'm looking for. And it's probably good.
I bet Japan's got some crazy different types of tinned fish.
Oh yeah. They live off that shit over there. They love that fish, or
Sweden, but I feel like the Sweden ones are just gonna be smelly because they like that shit.
Yep. I could see that.
Yeah, just gonna be like how would you taste it without the flavor?
That's your Swedish accent.
Yeah, how would you taste it without the flavor? That's my Swedish accent.
You should absolutely buy a case of these MREs. You should pick like five of them.
Well, you see how cheap? Do you think that it has? It says contains the following, and that's 12 in there for $60. That's what, fucking $5 a meal?
Yeah, no, I mean, this case looks legit to me.
And the inspection date, January 26th or newer.
Yeah, that's really new.
Yeah, that's what I looked up, you know. So there's military MREs, which is what I was looking at. There's other types of MREs. There's FEMA MREs. Interesting.
These humanitarian one that I'm looking at is not what we would eat. But this one that you sent is what we would eat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking at the humanitarian ones, meal contents. Let's see what we got. Each of the 10 humanitarian daily ration meals in this case contain lentil stew, beans and rice and tomato sauce, pasta and tomato sauce, two entrees. It's got crackers, strawberry toaster, fruit pastry, shortbread, cookies, bread, and snack items to establish a 2,000-calorie count meal pack for any combination of the following.
They're upselling you with these descriptions, too.
I mean, it's great that there's matches in there, too, though.
Yes.
And they are upselling me. I mean, I am like... And this is like... This is with 10 heaters, $30. So 10 for $30, that's like... Yeah, that's like $3 a meal.
Every MRE has a heater in it.
What is this? Yeah, but Tucker, I don't think you understand.
like,
dude, the reason $3 it's cheap a meal. Is because you're about to eat the lowest quality food that we can legally create.
Sure, sure. But that means that, like, Tucker, if I lived off of just this and I didn't eat anything else, I could, I mean, I'm thinking of a video idea right now. I lived off of MREs for a month. That's yes. $90. That's $90 a month in food.
I would love for you to do that, because when I went to ITB, infantry school,
dude, that's phenomenal.
That's basically what we did for 2 months, was just eating MREs. I mean, guys who deployed to Iraq back in the day, they were doing that for 6 months.
That's a really fine idea, I feel like, though. Live off MREs for a month so I can keep my living expenses cheap with food. Like, this is like some shit that I'm sure that somebody's done before, where they're like, because I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, these meals sound good.
And dude, I would say you're going to struggle to get more than a week into this.
Really?
Yeah, they suck. Like, at first you're going to be like, you know, this isn't that bad.
I'll probably be loving the fucking, I'll be loving the, what's it called? The Chili Mac.
Chili Mac's pretty good because it's kind of simple and it's kind of hard to fuck up.
It does seem like, I can based give on the way these ones. Are set up, there's always a protein in here, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? It's always there's no vegetarian ones. Like,
well, if they have like macaroni, it's like, okay, but we're putting chili in this too, so that there's like protein in there.
Chicken chunks is good because they give you buffalo sauce.
There was
sauce.
One I think I saw that was vegetarian, right? I guess not.
Typically, maybe. There would be like a vegetarian omelet, and there'd be like a few vegetarian ones that
what
would
about,
pick around.
What about cheese pizza slice? Is that not vegetarian?
Well, no, it would be called like vegetarian da 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 da. Like, it would be.
I just mean in terms of like a cheese pizza slice. Is that not a vegetarian?
Oh, it probably is. I don't know. But this isn't all the
MREs.
It's
not vegan, but.
Maybe they have phased some out. Like, pizza came out while I was in. I had it once or twice.
Man, dude, Tucker was in fucking the military in fucking the year 1000.
I remember when the pizza MRE came out.
Pizza was dropped for the first time. I was there when they first put that cheese and sauce on the flatbread.
Well, it was a big deal because it was like, wait, wait, wait. There's going to be a pizza MRE?
I know. It's just funny because it sounds like you're saying that you were in the military when pizza as a food came out.
Yeah, no, I'm getting
ancient.
You said
pizza came out when I was in the military.
Yeah, I was there.
And then, so... Yeah, so so there's the civilian MREs. Look at these. So now, fuck is a civilian? Because there's FEMA MREs, which usually are for civilians, but then there's civilian MREs.
Wait, send a civilian MRE to me.
These are 5-minute chef meals,
they're called. That's not what they were calling what we were eating. 5-minute chef meals? That sounds like a selling point for like a sponsor.
Low sodium, too. So
did they bring
let's
see, they give you mince?
12 pack case variety pack. We got chicken creole with brown rice, 2 each, beef stew, 2 each, pasta fagioli, chicken pasta parmesan and tomato and cheese sauce, spaghetti and meatballs, white chicken. They really do lean on the Italian food in these, it seems like.
I think the
white
sauce.
White chicken patty and barbecue with rice and beans. That doesn't even sound like a meal I've ever heard, but why is it a white chicken patty? What is it? That feels weird and dangerous.
I feel like they lean on things that are saucy because it's easier to hide the preservative within the sauce.
Wait, bro, this pasta fagioli is only 190 calories. The hell?
Really? I mean, that's
yeah,
not
and
a
this
lot.
Other one's like beef stew is only 160. These are not, that's not enough. Eight I mean, ounces? The white chicken patty one, that's 260, but like, what the fuck? These are really low calorie meals.
Yeah.
And let me reach my macros?
The MREs will keep you full if you eat them. Like, if we were going out for like 3-4 days and we had to eat MREs, I would just like be like, fuck it. I'm just going to eat the snacks out of them because I don't want to eat these nasty entrees. And like, I'll be back in 3 days anyway. So it's no big deal.
There's one item here on this website that's like almost designed to like get the brain pumping about having a go bag. It's this one where it's like a fucking military backpack with a whole one case of MRE meals. It's like $75. Dude, I think I'm going to be on this website a lot.
Ammo can man.
Ammo Cam Man, is your gear battle tested with a trademark there? They got clearance sale. What are they clearing?
Here's
out?
A video idea for you, Ted. They're
getting rid of MREs.
It could be like I bugged out. And you could just frame it as if the apocalypse happened. You could pack like a bug out bag.
Nobody really knows what the word bug out means, though. People know the word bug out bag, but like.
Or you could say like, I lived like it's the apocalypse. And you could like prep all your shit and then go live in like the desert out in 29 Palms or something. And like camp and eat MREs.
Oh, I'm getting excited about this. We're kind of already planning on doing that, though. Tucker and I want to make a video where we live in the woods for a week and just forage for our food.
Dude, this guy's selling 50 cal cans. Oh, just the cans.
Yeah, no, he's not selling 50 cal. I'm.
This
there's camouflage. There's clothing. They've even got gift ideas. How phenomenal. Gift ideas. It's literally just like a relink to the... Oh, they got coffee. They got like ammo can coffee or something.
Well, yeah, you...
Yeah, 30 caliber.
I have a bunch of ammo cans in my basement from when I was in. I think every MRE comes with coffee, which would be kind of fun for you to make. It's okay.
Yeah, that would be funny. I'm not a huge coffee guy, though, is the thing.
Well, if you're living off MREs, you're going to
I guess I would become a coffee guy, though, if the apocalypse happened, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to get my medicine.
Yeah, you're going to have to lock in.
Yeah, I would really have to lock in. If anything, you know what I think, though? I know what I think. I think that, you know, my medication allows me to operate within a modern world, right? But I think that in circumstances such as a survivalist thing, ADHD, looking everywhere, doing multiple things, keeping an eye on everything. Like, you know, sure, I don't test well, but goddamn, I'm gonna be aware of everything going on out in the wilderness. I'm gonna be thinking about everything that I could possibly think about. You know? Sorry. Maybe I interrupt people in a conversation. Yeah, but goddamn, I'm gonna be finding those berries, dude. I'm gonna find those berries.
I never thought about this. Do you struggle?
I read something about this once where it was like, for ADHD is like kind of seen as currently like a modern defect, but like it would be in some circumstances an advantage in ancient times.
Yeah, it could be that you're like really.
Are you looking this up? What did you look up? I want to.
No, you can't know.
No, I want to see your results.
No, you can't know.
What would you look up? Is ADHD ever good or something?
No, I looked up, is ADHD a good survival strategy?
It's not a strategy. It's a condition. Okay.
Is ADHD good?
Is it? Should I give myself ADHD if I want to survive? I got to look up what you were getting then. Is ADHD a good survival strategy? Research suggests that ADHD traits such as, and you definitely were reading this, such as impulsivity, distractibility, and high energy may have functioned as an effective survival strategy in early human history, particularly for hunter-gatherers. While these traits can pose challenges in modern structured environments, this is literally what I was saying, they likely provided advantages in unpredictable, high-stakes environments where rapid decision-making was required. You're goddamn right.
I just found a subreddit that I hope I never stumble upon again.
What is it?
2xADHD.
What is 2xADHD? What does that mean?
Women with ADHD.
Oh, women with ADHD.
Because 2x chromosomes. When we were younger, I don't know, these days, our size 2x chromosomes was a dangerous place.
wait. I'm reading something online. Okay, so there were some researchers that analyzed data from 457 adults, 206 of whom reported they have ADHD symptoms. The test subjects were asked to collect as many berries as possible from virtual bushes in a video game in a limited amount of time. They had to decide again and again, do they continue collecting in the same spot where the berries are running low, or do they change locations to explore a new bush? The latter cost valuable seconds. Those with ADHD traits tended to switch more quickly and spend less time on a single bush, effectively collecting more berries than a group without ADHD symptoms. The latter, in turn, tended to spend much more time on one bush in the hope of optimizing the yield. The researchers were surprised by this result. They assumed that the rapid change of shrubs would lead to a poorer yield, but the higher ADHD symptoms led to a higher reward rate and better performance.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but with the thing with the video game is
Listen to the research, my friend. Listen to the research.
The video game is designed to feed the dopamine. When you're actually tired and you're hungry and you're cold and you're outside.
Oh my god, dude, are you kidding me? Hyper fixating on getting as much berries for the people?
Okay,
getting
what if you
validation
can't,
from it too?
What if you can't find berries? Like,
then I'll eat dirt, because that's another superpower of ADHD, is our ability to eat as much dirt and never get sick.
I think you're getting worried. I'm getting worried.
I think you're getting worried because you've been living a life this whole time where you're like, God, I'm handy. I'm able to fix my car. I'm a family man. I can landscape and I know about birds, bugs, and bushes. And now you're getting a little bit worried that little Ted over here is going to be collecting so many berries, he's going to put you out of business. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I don't have to worry about that because you got no berries anywhere near you. I ate so many.
That's why I'm going to Montana, motherfucker. That's why I'm going to Montana. I'm going straight there.
With my
case A, my case B of MREs.
I ate so many berries last year. Just random berries. I was living off them at work.
Dude, one of my favorite breakfasts, a little bit of yogurt, berries, and some granola. It's the freshest, most delicious beverage, blackberries specifically. And even when I was a child, I mean, it's built into my soul. There was a raspberry bush on down the street, and I always loved going there and picking the berries. And also, we have a blueberry bush at my parents' house. They have a blueberry bush. I was always picking blueberries.
Where?
Right by the hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't used to have a hot tub, by the way. It was a new addition. I got to make sure people know I'm humble.
A hot tub's not, you know, it's not crazy.
It was a big deal when that hot tub came into town.
Oh, I bet. No, you guys have a nice, humble little home. Your family?
Yeah.
It's honestly, I'm surprised they do.
That bush, right? It's probably because you only really saw me in the winter a lot when we would use that hot tub. But that bush right there.
Yeah.
Next to it, over by kind of like where the storm door is for the cellar.
Yeah.
I know this spot. That's a bush. That's a blueberry bush. It's not like a main blueberry bush, though. There's something, it's got to be some sort of hybrid or something that was planted because it's big. It gets big. But we have like a fucking net that you put over it because the birds love that shit, dude. They will get all over that.
Birds on berries, man, it's a real problem. If you have berries, you can't have birds. And if you got birds, you can't have berries.
Well, the birds are wild birds.
You cannot have birds if you have berries.
You can't have them around. You got to have a fucking sentry gun on.
You got to have a scarecrow in the berries. I don't really believe in scarecrows, though. I don't think they work. Because if I was a crow, I would not be scared.
I don't know if they would use them for that long if they didn't, though. You know, I feel like the only reason why... Here's the thing. I think that a scarecrow works for crows and ravens more so. But crows also, they're very intelligent. They know what the difference between a human.
No, I think scarecrows are just out there for aesthetics.
A regular bird would be too dumb to even think that that's a human. Like, who is? It's time to look it up.
I think scarecrows have been out there for aesthetics for hundreds of years. Because it's not like people 300 years ago didn't care about aesthetics. Of course they did.
Do scarecrows actually work? Generally only as a temporary solution. While they can deter birds in some paths, their effectiveness is limited because animals often become accustomed to them over time.
Yeah, it's like
sense.
Sometimes like golf courses and stuff put out like fake coyotes for the geese.
Oh, so for the tips for maximizing effectiveness is you move them often. So you relocate the scarecrow every few days to keep pests from getting used to it. Or add movement/flash. Attach shiny reflective objects like old CDs, aluminum foil, or pie tins that spin and flash in the sun.
That's a good idea, but that's going to look really trashy.
I don't think that people are really... I think it's a utilitarian solution to birds and pests.
If it's the apocalypse, I'm still going to do everything in my power.
I didn't realize you were just talking about scarecrows within the context of the apocalypse.
Well, that's why you're foraging for berries. You're not doing that now.
Well, yeah. And I don't even really know what sort of berries are in Montana or why I'm going to Montana. I mean, I guess the idea is sort of like... I go to Montana and then I start crossing maybe eastward if I could. Because the general idea is that whatever situation I have and whatever family I have is going to be meeting up with the folks on the East Coast so we can start a commune of sorts, society. And you're welcome to join that. I definitely need your skills.
If the apocalypse kicks off and it's like a real one, I'm going to assume you died in the first 5 minutes. If you show up, that's a bonus.
Can you not do that? What, can you, you not do
in,
that?
You live in Los Angeles. I know you think that somehow you're living in Montana when this is happening.
Okay, riddle me this. What if I provide the two of us with battery-powered or solarly charging satellite phones? Apocalypse happens, we could definitely talk to each other, tell our plans.
Do you think satellite phones would still work? I guess, like, kind of theoretically, they would.
Time to look it up. We're, like, literally, like, figuring out our plan right now.
Because, like, the satellites aren't going to change their orbit, probably.
We're using the thing that will cause the apocalypse. Well, satellites work in an apocalypse.
Here's the thing, though.
Satellite phones would be one of the most reliable communication methods in an apocalypse, functioning long after traditional cell towers fail, but they are not a permanent solution. Obviously, because most satellites are in a decaying orbit. But they are designed to operate independently of ground-based infrastructure, making them invaluable when local, state, and national power grids are down. So that would be...
That'd actually be a good thing to put in your go bag.
Absolutely, I think that you should have one too. And so when the first shit hits the fan, all we'd really need to do is just check on each other with the satellite phones, and then you can know whether or not, you don't need to assume, we'll just check on each other with the satellite phones, okay?
Yeah, I would actually be down to get one of those. That sounds like a pretty cool piece of tech to have as...
Yeah, no, they've been around forever too. I mean,
yeah. I never thought about buying one for that reason, but like I should get one for me and like get one for my mom. And like,
yeah, I guess we do have satellite phones right now.
I wouldn't trust my phone to operate in those conditions.
Yeah, I'd want one that's like
more rugged.
Rugged.
Yeah.
I want one that's got an OtterBox on it. Like I want
some built for like, tough looks in like my phone.
I feel like I need something that looks like it should be attached to the hip of a cop, you know?
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah.
What I was saying,
and I stand by that.
Yeah, I'll stand by that.
Okay.
I think if the U.S. were to go into some sort of apocalypse, it would probably be, I think I said apocalypse, I mean apocalypse. It would probably be like we're run out of resources. Like for some reason, like the resource chain shuts down. And so no one's getting food or water or electricity anymore. So it just causes panic and craziness. I think that China.
And that sucks because everyone's alive.
Yeah, like in L.A., L.A.'s not producing any food or water. Like, they're just pulling it in to, like, 30 million people.
How do you think China relates to this, though? You were about to say
I think they're going to be like, we'll save you.
You think that China produces the food at that capacity? They import a lot of their food.
Yeah, but they could produce, like, MREs. It's not going to be fucking steak, but they'll be like, oh, well, we'll just take California and we'll take care of these people. We'll just start dropping, like,
foreign aid. Oh, you think it's going to be like you're going to think it's like the man in the White Castle.
Yeah, like somebody's going to scoop us up. I would say the odds of the whole world going into
the castle, not the White Castle.
Yeah, the man in the White Castle is Donald Trump at the moment.
Yeah. Have you seen The Man in the High Castle?
I've only seen the first episode or something. I need to watch it because it is
it's a good show. It's one of those that takes like a downturn, but I love a good sort of alternate like reality sort of fixation thing or geopolitical sort of like what if scenarios. Like those are always fun. I mean, the fact that we're literally entertaining this entire conversation is a testament to that. And there's another show that I was watching a little bit on Apple TV because I was watching the Godzilla adjacent show on Apple TV called Monarch, something about monsters. It was like a monster show. It's like the same world of Godzilla and King Kong and stuff like that. And that was pretty cool. I mean, but there's this one show that it seems like an investment of a show, but it's basically the premise of it. And each season occurs a decade later. It's the premise of it is what if the Soviets were first to the moon? And as a result, we had to play catch up. And even though there was a lot of more internal issues with the Soviet Union that like caused for them to crash. And I don't think them landing on the moon was, I guess culturally, it was like them landing on the moon was like kind of a promotion of their ideals. And that's basically the result is that over the course of the show, which is, I think the fifth season is coming out in towards the end of this month. The space race continued. And so each country was pushing each other to keep developing more and more and more. So technology developed a lot faster.
Yeah.
And so like before even the 2000s, like they were at Mars.
Wow. You know, I think technology has continued to increase at ever. With space, I feel like the limiting factor is propulsion technology,
the reality is that I think what is happening now is that there is a huge market for it. Mm-hmm. In a sort of predictive sense, like mining of asteroids and shit like that. Like the amount of resources that could be held in those, like straight up list, like fucking gold and shit in those and like other sort of like rare earth metals in asteroids and stuff. And I think that like also in terms of like a larger solar system, economic ecosystem, water in asteroids, like ice.
I don't think getting water from space would be a lot harder than just desalinating the ocean.
No, I mean like if let's say there's Mars, right?
There is Mars.
Or there's a station that exists in the asteroid belt. It is probably more economically makes more
to get water
sense
locally.
If you have a system to locally go and mine water off of off of an asteroid and then melting that down or whatever, then to acquire it from it, like exporting it from planet side from Earth.
Hard part about exporting it from Earth,
I think there's also a problem kind of inherently with doing that because like all of the water we have right now on the planet is this other than like the stuff that gets removed when through like propulsion systems or
like we don't want to be losing that.
Yeah, because we have all the water that we've had since ever.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be...
Like, the same water I'm drinking in this glass is probably something that was beat out by a dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a finite resource, essentially.
And it stays so good.
What was I going to say? Oh, well, I would also think it'd be very expensive with, like, the current propulsion of burning something to get out. It'd be really expensive to move water because water's really heavy.
Oh, yeah. It's very heavy. Yeah.
Well, then I was thinking getting minerals back in any quantity.
But if you think about it, yeah. Yeah. So what would happen is like the mining and refinement and maybe even manufacturing of certain materials and stuff would exist in space.
Oh. Yeah, it would have to.
Right, because it's like just because of like the gravitational aspect of that. But like, I mean, we were talking about this before, like a few podcasts ago or something about how much cheaper it's gotten to do launches.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Many more satellites are going up. I mean, like, God, I mean, think about. And so if you think about and do you know what I think is going to be one of a high likelihood thing that I think will happen in the next 10 years, and you can quote me on this, is that I think if this AI thing continues in whatever way it's going, and I think that this could be good in the apocalyptic sense, if the apocalypse were to happen, I think that there's going to be data centers in space because there's a huge issue surrounding cooling of these data centers. They get really hot. They put up a lot of heat. They're solar-powered stations in space that put off a lot of heat. Space is just going to cool them down.
I don't think space cools as well as you think it does because the heat has no matter to transfer into. Space is cold because there's nothing holding energy, but there's also nothing that's pulling energy away. Like, if you have a cold glass of water in a warm room... The warm room is what's making the water. It's equalizing between the two. I think cooling in space is often difficult because when we cool the data centers with water, the water's heating up. The data and the electronics.
Yeah, no. See, I'm looking into this right now. I think you are right.
Yeah, it's because
so heat dissipation, the vacuum problem. Space is a vacuum, meaning traditional convection cooling, fan/liquid, does not work. All generated heat must be dissipated via radiation, requiring massive fragile radiator panels.
Yeah, because it's a vat. Like you think space is cold, but you're not. You're thinking it's like cold like Antarctica. You're not thinking it's cold like a vacuum cold because we've never. None of us have ever experienced that. So it's like,
yeah. And then there's also seems to be some radiation hardware reliability issues with the cosmic radiation can corrupt data and destroy electronics.
Yeah. They don't have the ozone or what, or magnetic field as much like protecting them.
But assuming we figure out all those issues.
Yeah. No, it'd be really cool.
Like imagine this big data centers, because like one of the issues with the internet, and we ran into this when we were talking about Starship or whatever the fuck the internet in the space
Starlink
internet, Starlink was that, you know, you can access the internet through Starlink, mm-hmm. but the way it's getting the internet from on Earth,
yeah, it's like
all the data centers that access the entirety of the internet exists on Earth in one way or another. So if shit goes down on Earth, Starlink isn't really like usable because all the data centers are down.
Yeah. You couldn't do it on the moon because the lag time would be too much.
You think so?
Yeah. It says light takes approximately like 1.25 seconds to travel from
the Earth. Yeah, I think it's like something like 2 seconds was the delay on the live feed for the moon landing.
Yeah. And that's too you can't have 2 seconds of lag if you're playing a game. That's crazy.
I'm thinking in terms of the apocalypse right now.
The apocalypse.
We're bouncing back and forth between two subjects right now, but I do think that it would be cool to have data centers on the moon for my apocalypse scenario in which I'm eating a lot of chili mac MREs. So
as like an emergency backup internet kind of situation, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And I'd say that there is a chance that at a certain point, maybe I don't live in Hollywood anymore. Maybe I live in a Glendale, a Burbank of something
like
that.
New York City?
Oh. Maybe New York City. But
could be time
if I was home. In Glendale in certain areas, let's say, because they're going to nuke, if they nuke LA, they're only sending one over there, right? They only want one. It's not going to be like fucking Fallout where they're sending like a million little mini bombs. I feel like they're sending one into the center of LA. And if I'm in Glendale,
if you're in
Burbank,
Glendale, you'll be good.
I will. Because I'll be on the other side of that hill.
Dude, okay.
I'm just talking about protecting myself from the fireball, man. Come on, give me a break here. You're don't laugh at me.
Let's see. I want to know how big is the fireball on an average nuke.
There is a website. Nuke website. Look up nuke map.
Nuke map. Okay.
Or nuclearsecrecy.com.
Choose a warhead yield. Let's say common in U.S. arsenal.
You can select a preset. Common in U.S. arsenal, or is that?
Common it's the W76.
The W76.
Okay, you're not in the fireball. You are in the light blast. You're very close to the light blast damage. So I guess, like, technically, you're not going to get...
Where did you put down the nuke?
Los Angeles, center.
Like, where's the center? Just where Los Angeles is written?
It's at the it picked it for me. Like I'm on nuke map, nuclearsecrecy.com.
Yeah.
And it like picked the center of LA.
Yeah, it's choosing, I guess that is generally the center of LA. That's just like I guess that's downtown LA that they just chose, which seems like a reasonable spot to put it. If it was downtown LA,
I mean Hollywood's
I'm looking at this map here. I'm looking at if it was dropped right there where we're saying it's dropped. I just need to find my street. You know what? Yeah, it doesn't look like I'm definitely getting hit by that blast. That blast is breaking all my windows and shit. And like,
if a Tsar Bomba went off,
nobody's dropping a Tsar Bomba though, dude. Nobody's dropping the Tsar Bomba because that shit was so big it needed to be carried underneath a plane.
Okay, let's use China's current ICBM, the Dongfeng 5.
What? The Dongfeng 5?
You are very close Burbank is essentially at the edge of moderate blast damage.
Fuck! Oh my god, the Dongfeng 5? Oh, fuck!
That is gnarly.
Oh my god, dude.
Wow, I feel actually pretty good now. If we drop the largest Tsar Bomba the USSR ever even designed on New York City, I would be like a full other circle away from it.
That's, yeah, wait. So this is the good. Fireball. I'm not getting hit by the fireball. I am probably getting hit by moderate blast damage.
We're getting caught up.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, so the moderate blast damage. Let's see. Okay, so most. Okay, yeah. Okay, so most in this area that I am definitely in, based on this China's Dongfeng 5. I'm in the area where most residential buildings collapse. Injuries are universal. Fatalities are widespread. The chances of fire starting commercial and residential damage are high. Building damage, high risk of spreading fire.
Yeah, think about the aftermath of fires in LA.
And then also, if you look at the fucking distance of third degree burns, 15 and a half miles almost. I mean, if I'm inside, but the building's going to get destroyed. So it's like
100% probability for third degree burns.
But is that if you're outside or even if you're inside? It doesn't really make sense if you're inside, right?
I certainly
if you're outside.
And this would be detonated at 17,000 feet up.
Okay. Well, if I decide to move to fucking Santa Barbara, I'm fine.
Dude, I would not want to live that close to the fucking... That whole area is going to burn down.
Yeah. It seems like people in Long Beach are doing fine, though.
I wouldn't say they're doing fine.
They're doing
fine. I would say
and
today...
That's so fucked up. The people in Calabasas, they don't get hit at all?
Calabasas. I don't know what that even is.
Calabasas is where like the Kardashians live and shit.
Honestly, not even getting hit by the San Diego fucking... is probably a more likely target because there's a ton of military in San Diego. There's a big Navy base. There's a big Marine base. There's an air station. There's a training center. There's multiple training stations. Actually, multiple air stations.
So they're probably going to hit. They're going to hit San Diego. They're going to hit LA, and they're going to hit San Francisco. Surely.
San Fran and San Diego are bigger targets, in my opinion, due to the Navy bases.
You think that they wouldn't go for Los Angeles?
What is in Los Angeles? There's people.
I guess they would.
What's
I guess
the
they
point
would
of
29, wouldn't they?
29 is not that strategic. It's just a Marine base for infantry. Like,
yeah,
that's not really relevant in a nuclear war, but submarines and carriers definitely are, which are stationed in
San. If they hit San Diego, they... Oh, no, that's water everywhere.
You klutz. Let's get onto the Patreon, Ted.
Yeah, I guess we got to get onto the Patreon. That
See
water,
you later,
like...
guys. Thanks for watching.
Bye.
All right. Peace, guys.